Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media sites that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message.
If you are new here, it's so great to meet you. My name is Pastor Kirk. I am the youth pastor here at Waterhouse Church. And if you are joining us for the first time, welcome to this Easter Sunday. Really great to see everybody here. One of the things Waterhouse believes in is Scripture. And I know that sounds crazy, but we believe that the Word speaks for itself. And so we believe, are we good? Is this mic going to blow up? We believe in the power of reading the Word. So I'm going to invite one of my dear students, Gray Rickman, to join me on stage. Gray is wonderful. If you didn't notice, she had just like served on the usher team, and she was handing stuff out earlier. But she is one of our youth, and she does a phenomenal job. So she is going to read for us. If you would stand and join me as Gray reads.
We're going to be in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones, being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying as in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that you brought all of us together. I thank you for Easter, and I thank you that you died for us, and 3 days later you rose again for us, and you came back for us, God. And I pray that you help us to always remember that and never forget the true meaning of you and the true meaning of all that you do for us and all that you've done and will continue to do for us. God, I thank you for this day, and I praise your name. Amen.
Thank you, Gray. Welcome to Waterhouse. So glad that you're here this morning. Hope you're doing well. What's your life built on this morning? Is it built on the rock, or is it built on something else? Today, we're talking about the cornerstone in your life. What is your life built on? 1 Peter 2:4-10 talks about this living stone. But there was another stone laid in Washington, September 18, 1793, atop Capitol Hill. George Washington stood before a watching crowd to lay the foundation to the United States. I think I have a picture of him. There it is. Capitol Hill. The stone was cut from an American quarry near Aquia Creek in Virginia, chosen for its strength, but also because it came from the soil of the nation itself. At a time when the United States was still fragile and unproven, that stone marked the beginning of something intended to last, something meant to hold together a people still learning to be one. That cornerstone was more than just a piece of construction. It was a declaration of foundation. Everything would rise on that stone. If it did not hold, neither would the nation. As that was laid as the nation, Christ was laid as the foundation of the kingdom. That was one cornerstone. But Jesus is the true cornerstone. He is the cornerstone that is tested. If you have Bibles, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16 through 17. We're going to be in there for a little bit. It says this, "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It's a precious cornerstone that's safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. I will test you with a measuring line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness. Since your refuge is made of lies, a hailstorm will knock it down. Since it is made of deception, a flood will sweep it away." Before we continue, I want to pray for this medical emergency that's going on right now. Yes. Father God, I just pray right now, Father, whoever is needing this medical attention, God, that you would touch their lives. Father God, I thank you that you see us, that you know us. And God, be with the hands of the EMTs, the doctors, the physicians. And God, we pray right now, Father, for that individual, God, that they would be touched by you, be healed by you. God, give them your peace and your comfort, God, right now in Jesus' name. God, we ask for you to touch their lives and to be in this place and to be here with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He is firm and tested. He is the one that we can rely on. He's the one that we can put our life in. This is a cornerstone. This is our actual cornerstone. It's actually an actual cinder block that looks like a cornerstone, but it's a cornerstone. Right? You have one end is decorative. On the inside, it's just flat, but it's square. See, everything about a cornerstone dictates the direction of the building that you're going to build. If the cornerstone is crooked, the whole building's going to be crooked. If the cornerstone is unlevel, the whole building's going to be unlevel. We don't use a lot of cornerstones anymore. But when you build on top of this stone, everything on it is built into it. And if the cornerstone shatters, the building topples. And many of you today, I want to ask this question. Is your life built on the solid foundation of Jesus? He is tested. He is overcome. How do we know he was tested? All through his life, he was tested. When he came to earth as a man, when he left heaven, and he came in the form of a human, that was a test. When he went to the Jordan Sea, Jordan River, and he was baptized, that was a test. When he came up out of the water, and the Father declared to him, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." When the Holy Spirit ascended on him like a dove, when he was driven into the wilderness to be tested, that was a test. He overcame with the word of God. When he went into the people and he preached the gospel and he healed the sick and he opened blind eyes and caused the lame to walk, he was tested. When he sat around his disciples at their feet and he washed their feet, even the one that would betray him, he was tested. When he sat at the table and he took communion with his disciples, he was tested. When he went to the garden and he prayed, "Father, not my will be done, but your will be done," he was tested. When he went to Pilate and he went to the Pharisees and they accused him and they mocked him and they beat him and they hit him, he stood silent and didn't plead his case. He was tested. When he was nailed to the cross and he was raised high and people mocked him and spit on him and he did not come down, he was tested. When he was laid in the tomb and he laid there for 3 days, he was tested. And we know he passed the test because 3 days later, the stone that held him rolled back and he came out victorious. This is why we celebrate Easter, because there is a resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no faith. If Jesus wasn't rose from the dead, then our faith is false. Nothing in this makes sense. What we're doing today on Sunday doesn't matter, because if Jesus wasn't resurrected, if he wasn't truly the Son of God, then our faith is false, and we are to be pitied, as Paul says, more than anyone else. And so today, I'm asking you the question, what's the foundation of your life? What's the foundation of your life? Is it built on something strong? If it is, you're in good place, because he is safe, as the scripture says. He makes us straight, and he makes us plumb. You know what a plumb line is? Some of you do. Some of you are construction workers, and a lot of them. A plumb line is just a string with a weight at the end. And it works with gravity. The gravity pulls it down, and you can tell if your wall is straight if the plumb line is straight. See, Jesus comes and makes us straight. That passage in 28 says that justice is the line and righteousness is the plumb line. So we are justified through Christ, and then we are laid straight. And we are righteous through Christ, and we are upright. So we are right with the Father. Is there something in your life? Look at your life. What in your life is off kilter? What in your life is sideways? What in your life is toppling? Maybe it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's built on something else. You see, Jesus talked about us building our lives on him because he has been tested. He is the one who's safe to build on. Actually, in Matthew chapter 7, 24, it talks about this. He says, "Everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall. Because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." What happens when we build on Jesus? Our foundation remains and our building remains. Because here's the thing: both places, both homes, both houses were built. They both dealt with the same storm, same wind, same rain, same flood, but only one remained. Which one remained? The one that was on a good foundation. The one that was on the sand toppled. When you build on Jesus, you build on a solid foundation. It will stand. It will stand the test of storms, because I'm telling you guys, you're going to have storms in your life. Maybe you're going through a storm in your life. What's going to make you stand? What's going to help you stand in that moment? You need something solid to stand on. Jesus proved he's solid to stand on through his resurrection. He is the one you can put your hope in. He is the one that you can put your eternity in, not just here on this life, but also in the life to come. He is the one that straightens your life. He is the one that aligns your life. He's the one that pulls your life into the direction that it needs to go, but also he's the one that gives you destiny to the Father. So not only in this life are you experiencing his goodness, but in the life to come, there's righteousness for you and for me. This is what happens when we build on his foundation. But what happens when we build on something else? We build on the sand. Scripture says in chapter Isaiah 28, it says, "Since your refuge is made of lies, a hailstorm will knock it down. Since it's made of deception, a flood will sweep it away." What is he saying? He's saying when you build on the sand, you're building on a lie. When you build on something other than Christ, it's a lie. It can all be taken away. Many of us build the foundation of our life, as one to tell you the story of my life. My foundation was not Jesus. It was my own abilities. It was what I could achieve. It's what I could get for myself. And many people build their foundation of life on who they are. Maybe a skill, maybe an ability, maybe a talent. Maybe they build their life on how much money's in their bank account or not in their bank account. They build their life and the foundation of their life and what they can get or who they are. But I'm telling you, those things can be taken away in an instant. Your life can change in a second. Your bank account could be wiped out. Your health could disappear immediately. You never know what's going to happen. Be careful on what you build your life on. If you're building your life on anything other than Jesus, it's sifting sand. And the wind will come and the rain will blow. And the fall will be great. We have to make sure we're building on the right foundation. Anything in your life that you build on other than Jesus is unstable and crooked. We have to build on that foundation that Jesus tells us to build on. Otherwise, it's a lie. And many people believe the lie. So how do we know if we're building on a lie or not? False foundations are proved in the storm. Whatever is shaken is built on a lie. What's shaking in your life right now? What's going on in your life that you're like, man, I don't know if this is good or not? Because here's the thing. A lot of people build their life on Jesus. Like, there's a lot of their life, most of their life, is on the cornerstone. Solid foundation. Their eternity secure. Like, they know Jesus. And a lot of their life is built on that, but some of their life isn't. It's like we're living on a compound, right? We have some of our life on the foundation of Jesus, and other parts of our life are on foundations that we create. Really, it's just sand. Think about your life right now. What in your life is shaken? What in your life is falling apart? What in your life is sideways or tilting? That may be part of your life that you need to submit under the authority of King Jesus and align it to the cornerstone. the passage says in 1 Peter, that we are coming to him. That's a verb, and it's a aorist. What I mean by that is it's always happening, okay? So we're always coming to him. We're always coming to the cornerstone. We're always placing our faith and our hope in the cornerstone. We never stop coming to him. With every day of our lives, we're coming to Jesus, aligning our lives to him, being built on him, and our foundation is secure because we're built on him. Are you coming to him today? So how do you move one house that's built on sand to the foundation of Jesus? It's just simple surrender. God, help me put my house in order. God, let me put all of my life on this one thing, on you, because I know you can build it back. You can make it strong. Man, I was, even this message this week, I've been asking the Lord, what in my life is not on your foundation? You're like, well, you're a pastor. Everything's supposed to be right. I'm telling you, there's parts of my life I'm like, it's kind of shaking right now. There's parts of my life where I'm like, I'm kind of anxious about this, or I'm not sure about this. It's because I haven't really put all of it onto King Jesus. And so it's always good to reevaluate your life and say, okay, where are the foundations off in my life? And ask the Lord to show you so you can put them back where they belong. It's a good thing. We need to do that. But I would even say some of you, most of us, we're in here on this Easter, so most of us know Jesus, right? We know where the cornerstone is, and we came here and we sang the song and we get that. But sometimes, for a lot of people, because I was one of those people, look, if you ever come here, I tell myself a lot, I'm a great example of what not to do most of your life, but I'm also an example of what Jesus can do to a surrendered life. A lot of us, we treat Jesus not as a cornerstone, but as a pet rock. You know, we pull them out of our pocket when we need them. But Jesus, I'm in a bind, I'm in trouble, God, I'm coming to you. Lord, help me out of this mess. This was my life, most of my life. Like, I knew about Jesus, but I only knew him as Savior. Like, save me, I'm in trouble. I didn't know Jesus as Lord. I didn't know Jesus as the one to build my life on. And so I just used him like a pet rock. You know, I take him out and show him off every once in a while. You know, I was like, yeah, I follow Jesus. I read my Bible study. I'd go talk to people. But I really didn't know him. My life wasn't built on him. He was just a pet to me. And I'd put him back on the shelf until next time I needed him. And I pull him down and go, Jesus, help me. Jesus, I need this. God, I really need a new house. Right? We kind of treat Jesus as a genie. He's not a genie. He is the Savior of our life, but he's also Lord of our life. And when you align your life up to him, you are built into him. This is why the passage in Peter is saying that we are built into Jesus. Our life is set upon his life, and it's firm and it's stable, because our life is grafted into his. He's building us into the home that he wants us to be in. Are you built on that firm foundation today? Many people I talk to in this church, week after week, they say the same thing. You know, I've been following Jesus my whole life, but I really didn't know Jesus. What do you mean? Like, I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know him. I didn't realize that he wanted to know me on this level. I didn't know there was so much more to this faith thing than just getting into heaven. And their life begins to change. Why? Because they went from taking Jesus out of their pocket and they founded their life on him. And then everything in their life transformed. Everything in their life started to align to the line of justice that God has placed for them. And everything started to be upright in their life because God is the God of righteousness. And when they put their faith into Christ, into the cornerstone, everything lined up for them. And it's like, I never knew it could be this good. I love hearing those stories. I love hearing the stories of people telling me how their life has changed because of finally putting all their faith and all their weight onto King Jesus. That's when you know that you're built on a good foundation. That's how you know your life is square, because you've trusted fully in him. Many of us know him. Like, we know all about Jesus up here. We can quote scripture and verse probably better than I can. I've met people who's like, they memorized the whole Bible. Good for you. Like, good for you. I'm glad you did that. But is he changing your life? Are you forming your life to him? See, a lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They take him out and they admire him, and they study him, and they look at him, but he's not the cornerstone. He's not foundational. See, it's when you come to him and you found your life on him, that's when your life changes. This is why Jesus came. Did he come just to get you into heaven? No. Sorry to bust your bubble. There's so much more than that. That's just a byproduct. What did Jesus come to do? He came to build relationship, to right the relationship between man and God. He came as the intermediary between God and man to make us right with God. This is why justice is the line and righteousness the plumb line. God made us straight with the Father so we can have relationship with him. And what is relationship? Well, what's the relationship definition? It's the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected or a state of being connected. So when the scripture says that we're coming to him, coming to Jesus, what's it saying? We are being connected to the cornerstone. We are being put in place into Jesus. We're no longer outside of Christ, but now we are in Christ. That's the difference. That's when you know that you've truly put your faith in him and you truly trust in him. What's shaken in your life today? What's outside of his relationship? Do you know him? Do you know he loves you? Do you know he sees you? Do you know he wants so much more for your life? The cornerstone was set as the foundation of relationship with God the Father. You see, John 14, 6 through 7 says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Jesus is talking to his disciples. Jesus was the blueprint of the Father, whether you realize this or not. This is why he says, if you've seen me, you've seen him. And he tells his followers, he tells his disciples to love one another as I have loved you. He's saying, here's the pattern. God loves you. He's saying, I love you. Love as I love you. This is relationship. Jesus came to form relationship. It's not about just getting into heaven. It's not about avoiding hell. It's about getting to God. It's coming to God, coming to the Father. He wants you with him, and heaven happens to be there. Okay? So it's our honor to believe. That's why he says in verse 7, so it's our honor for those who believe. So what's the honor? It's the value of it. The value is for you. When you give your life to Jesus and you put your faith in the cornerstone, the value is yours. Like, you get the value of it. He paid the price for it, but we get the value of it. But what happens if you reject him? For those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Many people reject Jesus, and they have the reasons why. Maybe they don't think he's sturdy enough. Maybe they don't think he's straight enough. Maybe they don't think they can really put their weight on this Jesus. Many think there's many ways to heaven. There's many ways to the Father. You know, this Jesus thing is just way too exclusive. How can there be only one way to the Father? Well, Jesus himself says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to, no one connects to, no one gets to the Father except through me. Just praise God there's a way. What's your reason? Why aren't you coming to him? Why are you stumbling over him? As one who stumbled over Jesus over and over in my life, I'm telling you, if you don't accept him, you're always going to be stubbing your toe on him. Right. Through my whole life, Jesus was trying to get my attention, but I wasn't looking for him. I was looking for something else to build my life on. And I kept stumbling over the stone, and I kept rejecting the truth of who Jesus was. And I kept falling, and I kept falling, and I kept falling. And then I got mad at God because it's his fault I was falling. When really he's trying to get my attention, and I just wasn't looking where I was going, and I was stubbing my toe and tripping on him and falling. And so many people, and I'm telling you, you may be one of these people, you're cursing God because the pain you're in right now. It's not his fault. It's because you're walking in the darkness. You're walking in the dark. You don't see where you're going, and so you're tripping all over Jesus. Don't blame him don't blame God for your pain. Blame the darkness that failed you. It's what failed you. Right. It's not God. Y'all are quiet this morning. I'll beg you. If you have rejected, if you've rejected Jesus, reevaluate him. Take another look. You know, maybe you're in here today and your grandma drug you or somebody else drug you to church today. I was a drug baby. My mom drug me to church every day, every Sunday. And maybe you got drug in here today, but take a fresh look at Jesus. Next time you come up to him, take a look at him. Just know that he is worthy of building your life on. What in your life is unstable? Let God build it. But here's the thing about Jesus. When you come to him, he doesn't just save you. He builds you. How many of you experience this? When you give your life to Christ and you start putting your faith in him and you put your life in him as the cornerstone, he starts building you. Like you're never the same. And here's the thing I've discovered. Like I think I've got it made. Like I think I've arrived. Like I finally got past that thing. God's like, okay, now we're going to work on this. We're going to take care of this. I'm like, oh man, when am I ever going to get there? Never. Right? Because we're human, but we're always attaining. We're always growing. We're always being made into something beautiful if we allow him to build us. C.S. Lewis has this beautiful story of how God builds us. He goes like this. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right. He's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You know that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised by it. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. He's throwing out a new wing here, putting up an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace. Yes. He intends to come and live in himself. God is always building us. This is the beauty of being a believer. He doesn't just leave us. He doesn't just buy us and leave us where we're at. God's not a slumlord. He takes care of his people. Right? He takes care of us. He grows us. He makes us better. He creates in us. He teaches us to walk in his ways. So I would tell you, man, maybe you're in this point right now. So I'm talking to three people today. Maybe you're at this point where God's doing something in your life and you're like, man, I'm not sure, God. Maybe he's removing something from your life. Could be people, could be a career, could be something. I don't know. But he's removing it out of your life and you're like, God, why are you doing that? Maybe there's something in your life he's telling you to get out of your life, a habit. Maybe it's a thought pattern. I don't know what it is, but there's something he's trying to take out. Why is he removing things? Why is he doing demolition in your life right now? Because he's about to build something beautiful in you. Let him. Let him come in and renovate your life. He wants to. And he has the right to because he has all the permits. All right? Let him. Don't deny the master builder. Trust in his design. He's not going to leave you a broken mess. Why does he build us up? So we can glorify him more. So we can glorify him more. This is why we're called Waterhouse Church. Because what God does in us, God wants to do through us. This is why we exist. Because we have something that God wants to do in people's lives. And what we've experienced through him, I get to share with other people. I get to tell you about how bad I used to be, but how good God is in despite of all that. Because God is the master builder. And he's building up for a reason and a purpose. This is why the passage closes by saying, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of he who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you had no mercy, but now you have mercy. This is Jesus. This is what he's done for you, and this is what he's done for me. And as a believer, our assignment as priests in the kingdom is to find others whose houses are toppled over, whose houses are leaning, whose houses are shaken, and they're fearful and they don't know which way to turn, and to bring them to the master builder and say, hey, I have a foundation you can build on, and his name is Jesus. Yes. We don't need to forget that ever. Jesus has called us to be a holy priesthood and a people called to his own purpose. I want you to stand this morning. If I can have the worship team come up. And also the altar team. I'm going to ask you three questions this morning. And then we're going to take communion as a church. Number one, what's your life like right now? What's it built on? Are the things in your life that are teetering, are the things in your life that aren't square? When me and my wife were shopping for a house many years ago, we saw this house. It was really cheap, and here's why. Foundation was bad. You couldn't really tell from the outside, but as soon as you walked inside, you could tell. There's cracks in the walls, gaps. All the doors, you'd shut them, and they go, swing right back open. The foundation was off. The house was leaning. And maybe your life is like that right now. You're built on the sand, and your house is leaning. There's cracks in your life. There's cracks in your life. The doors of your life are opening and things are getting into your life that you don't want to get in there. Why? It's because you're on the wrong foundation. Trust in Jesus. He's the only foundation for your life. He's the only one that you can stand on. But you don't just stand on him. You come to him and you're built into him. It's beautiful what happens when you give your life to Jesus. It's a change. Your foundation is secure. Maybe it's time for you to stop building on two different foundations. So the first person I talked to, they don't have a foundation of Jesus at all. They don't even know Jesus, but today you're going to have an opportunity to know him. Second call is for those who know Jesus, but they have two foundations. They're living in the compound, right? Part of your life is founded on Jesus, but other parts aren't. And it's just unstable and it's shaken. There's parts of your life that are horribly shaken. How do we know? When the storm comes, it falls apart. And maybe you're in a storm right now and you're saying, oh, this part of my life is not on Jesus. I need Jesus in this part of my life. And then the last person I want to talk to is those who God's doing something in your life. He's rebuilding you. He's renovating you. And yet you're not sure if you should let him. You're not wanting to work with him. You're afraid. You're scared. But God, I have to give up this. But God, I have to go here. But God, I have to lose a friendship. Trust the builder. Trust the builder. He's got the blueprint of your life. He's bringing things into alignment. He's squaring things up for your life. If you just trust him today, would you trust him? I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. Thank you. So the first batch, you would just say, my life is a mess. I don't have a foundation. I feel like my whole life, every step I take is on sifting sand. I try to take a step, but it just seems like I get stuck in deeper. I don't have this foundation of Jesus. I don't even know Jesus. I want to know this Jesus who gives me the foundation of my life. I need him. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you up here. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I see you. Anybody else? No, I'm not going to call you up. I'm just going to pray for you. I see you in the back. Thank you. I need Jesus. Thank you. I need Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And now, for those who are building on two foundations, like I know Jesus and I'm following him and I'm trying to do my best, but there's areas in my life that are just so unstable. I need him in it. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Thank you. All in the house. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Come to him. He's the cornerstone. And then for the third, God's doing something in your life and you're too afraid to step forward. You're resisting his renovation. And you would say today, I want to surrender to what God's doing. If that's you, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. That's scary. Thank you. But I'm telling you, man, anytime God's taken something out of my life, he's added something so much better. So much better. He's a God who builds. He's the God who builds your life. Let him. So I'm going to pray for those first who have given their life to Jesus this morning or said they want to. Can we just as a church pray together to support them? For these five or six people that raise their hands, thank you, God, for that. It says the kingdom rejoices when one sinner comes to faith. So imagine when five, when six. So would you just pray with me, everyone, this prayer? This prayer doesn't save you. Jesus does. Scripture says when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Christ is raised from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. So we're going to do a simple prayer in that order. So repeat after me. Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who died on the cross in my place. Every sin, every bit of shame, every bit of guilt in my life, he placed on himself. And Father, I accept that sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Lord, will you remember me in paradise? Now, Father, I surrender my life to you. Let me build my life on Jesus, the cornerstone of my faith, and help me to follow him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So good. Father, I just pray for these other people, God, that raise their hand, that you would just place them on the right place. And also, Lord, that you would help these people that are just so afraid to let go and let you build. God, you know what you're doing, even when it hurts. And Father, I thank you for that. In a minute, we're going to take communion, but I feel like we need to have a little time for the altars this morning, since we're not rushed. If you need prayer for anything at all, the altars are open. These people up here, they love you. They want to pray for you. They want to speak a word into your life if you let them. Whatever you need at all, if you need healing, if you just need a hug and some encouragement, they'll give you that, no problem. But whatever you need, they're here for you. We just let them minister. We're going to sing this song. We're going to think about what in our life does God want to square up. And then we're going to take communion and close. You can go and sing that song. Come get prayer if you need prayer.